Welcome to the Shine Faith Talk podcast, where we explore topics related to faith formation for children, youth, and adults. Shine Curriculum is co-published by Brethren Press, the publishing house of the Church of the Brethren, and Menno Media, the publishing house of Mennonite Church USA and Mennonite Church Canada. Shine is also used by over 17 other denominations and fellowships. We create faith formation resources for church and home that encourage children and youth to love Jesus, grow in faith, and change the world. I'm Joyce Peachy Lind, the Shine Curriculum Editor, and joining me today are Joan Daggett, Project Director for Shine, and Shanna Peachy Bushart, who is the Project Director for Shine Everywhere, the Faith at Home initiative of Shine Curriculum. Welcome to both of you. It's good to be with you today.
Good to be with you.
Hey, Joyce.
Well, today we are discussing a report titled, Do We Need a New Plan for Children's Ministry? Which is based on research that was done in Brazil, Canada, the United Kingdom, and the United States. And this was research done during the later stages of the pandemic. The data was collected in June of 2021, and the report was released in October of 2021. And the findings of the report highlight several areas of concern in ministry with children and families that arose as the world came out of the pandemic. Of course, those of us who work in churches and children's ministry have our own observations as well. But today we're going to unpack the findings of this report and the recommendations offered for children's ministry going forward. So, the upshot of the report, in my view, is that the pandemic adversely affected children's faith formation due to decreased engagement of children and families. And we saw this during the pandemic. Many of the efforts to stay connected with congregants, they would say, were focused on adults, and the children kind of ended up being an afterthought. What else, Joan and Shanna, did you want to sh do you want to share about what the results of this report were, what the findings were of this report?
Well, the report notes, and I think we all saw it, an increase in isolation and marginalization of children from churches and their families, too. The study also revealed that while families wanted relational connections, they found it hard and challenging to establish those types of connections. Also, Christian parents don't really feel equipped to nurture their children's faith. And this isn't new, but the awareness was pushed into the forefront, I think, during the pandemic.
A couple of other findings from this report were that parents did not feel well supported by their churches during the pandemic. They appreciated resources, but that the congregations gave them, the congregations tended to give them Sunday school resources to use at home, but they were even more interested in a relationship, a relational connection, and collaboration and partnership with churches, which wasn't really forthcoming. Another finding was that a new approach needs to focus heavily on those relational co connections rather than being primarily program driven or content driven. So, Joyce, you were a pastor during that time, during the pandemic for children and families. So, what was your experience, as you look at the report? How did that The findings of the report compare with your experience?
Well, I really resonated with many things in the report because it matched my experience as a pastor. I was involved with children's ministry during and right after COVID. And of course, things shut down and sort of children's, everything we were doing, church had to shift, children's programming had to shift. And once we could meet again, it felt like nothing was working. We were starting from scratch. Families weren't attending for a variety of reasons. Some didn't feel safe. Others had sort of gotten into the habit of just being home on Sunday mornings. So we were trying to figure out what can we do to connect with families. And it seemed as though both parents and the church were thinking that the other were not really doing enough. And so the church, as pastors and leaders, we were trying lots of different things. We were doing outdoor activities, outdoor worship, trying to do multi-generational or intergenerational things. And some of those worked and some didn't. Some were attended, some nobody, hardly anyone came. So we had a lot of misses, but there were also some things that came out of that that were really good. But what we learned was that we needed to collaborate with families, and it took us a while to figure out how to do that, but involved listening and trying to really hear what it was that they were wanting and what would work for them. And now, 3 years later, the children's program in this congregation has sort of a new, it's been reformed in maybe a little bit different way, some old ways and some new ways. More families are involved. And, it's been 3 years, but now finally the children's ministry is beginning to thrive again. But it took time and it took patience and just trying lots of different things. So yeah, that was my experience, and I'm curious what you all observed in your settings, and just also other thoughts you have as you looked at this report, as you looked at the findings. What were your responses to this?
Yeah, I was really remembering how that dynamic of how it just seemed that it took churches forever to return to a children's ministry. At the time of the during and after the pandemic, I was the denominational minister for Faith Formation for Mennonite Church USA, and was relating to pastors like Joyce and others who were trying to figure out what to do, how to have Sunday school. I remember doing coaching cohorts for pastors and leaders who were trying to figure out how to start Sunday school in the fall of. Was that 2020 or 2021? I think it was
21.
was it
2021
21.
was when we started.
So it was I think I was actually doing those cohorts in 2020, in that first fall of the pandemic. And man, that was tough. It was tough for everyone. But that feeling of wow, I mean, some churches really just shutting down the whole children's program and not doing a thing. And that was so that resonates with the findings of the study. What about you, Joan? What do you remember?
Oh, gee. As the report says, it seemed like people were just putting everything on hold in terms of children's ministry. And for Shine, of course, that translated into people not buying our curriculum. And it also, I remember that first summer and fall trying to, we did read alouds of the Bible story. And we were trying to develop Shine at Home, which was, little activities that parents could do at home. Shine Connect, which was taking Sunday school curriculum and giving teachers pointers on how to use it on Zoom. So all that was front and center during that time. And it was a time when I think things were being just put on hold.
Yeah, I was looking at the report again in preparation for our conversation here today. And, the report asserts that basically congregations took existing curriculum and handed it to parents. But I was thinking of all the different things you just named, Joan, all the different ways you were already trying to adapt in the moment for parents and churches. So I just feel like Shine was an example of trying to give people what they needed, not just, Sunday school curriculum for moms and dads to use at home. So that was really commendable. I mean, at the time I wasn't part of the Shine team, but I remember thinking how well you guys were working hard to adapt in the moment.
But as the
That was
report
great.
says, not everything worked, but
Yeah,
we tried.
right. Yeah.
I think it's so
Well,
important for people to hear like Joyce's experience. You tried all these things, a lot of them didn't work, a lot of them didn't connect. I think a lot of them were based on your experience and your education and understanding of the situation, but that doesn't mean that that's what people were wanting or were ready for. And so, like you say, there were a lot of misses, but also today, the congregation that you were leading in is in a better place, and it's well positioned moving forward, doing some things that are working. So, at the time, I was really encouraging people do an experiment and then reflect on how that went. And then when you figure out what you learned from that, do another experiment and just keep that cycle of experimenting and reflecting. And your experience kind of demonstrates that that actually can move you forward. yeah, and it took a while. I think one of the things we were trying to ask parents, what is it that you need and what do you want? And I think they were so overwhelmed at the time that they weren't quite sure what they needed and what they wanted. So yeah, there was value in hearing from them, but again, just had to be patient in terms of thinking through, helping them think through what they were hoping for and wanting for their children. I think one of the things that jumped out at me again as I was reading this too is that we sort of took things and just applied them. We took them from the format they were at with Sunday school and said, "Here, now you do this, parents." And they just didn't feel equipped. Many of them didn't feel equipped, or they didn't have the time. So I appreciated what the report said, which is that this needs to be more of a collaboration, not just you do it or we do it, but how do we work at this together? How do we work at supporting the nurturing the faith of children in our congregations, both at home, partnering with the church together? And I don't know, maybe that looks, I don't know, looks different than what we are used to in the past. Maybe we think we're partnering, but are we really? So I don't know. What advice do you have? You've talked about parents and asking, I mean, that's one of the things, but how do we partner? How do we partner with parents, or how do churches partner with parents?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I wonder about is I think about all the I've worked with, Christian formation committees and Christian education committees over the years, and the traditional approach that they've been taking is that to see their job as providing the programs, providing Sunday school and Girls Club, Boys Club, youth groups, making sure that there are teachers and youth sponsors, and making sure that those people have appropriate curriculum and program structures, to work through. And I would not suggest that that discontinue. It really depends. I mean, in some congregations, all of that fell apart and has to be rebuilt, right? In some congregations, they're going back to those practices. But to whatever extent you're rebuilding or rethinking how to do things, at that point, that's where these committees can be pulling parents in to the conversation and saying, what do you think? What do your children need? How do we work together with on this question? I'm thinking too that, right before the pandemic, I got coaching training and used it throughout the pandemic, and I'm now a certified coach. And a coaching approach sees the client as the expert. So let's see the parents as the experts on their children and what their children need. They are certainly the experts on what they need as parents to be the faith formation leaders in their homes. So let's see them as the experts that they are and collaborate with them in that sense, and move forward from with what we learn together with the parents.
So in the report, I was thinking a little bit about roles and responsibilities, and Shanna, what you said connects with this. Parents want to rebuild relationships and have opportunities to meet with one another. I think that somewhere in the report, it talks about how parents gain confidence and energy when they meet with other parents and that they talk together. Our question is, how can church leaders develop these relationships with and among families in their congregations? What are the settings and circumstances that bring families together where families feel comfortable even talking? And Shannon, you spoke well of this. We hear the question, how can the church equip parents? And I want to say that language is still transactional, and it's not collaborative. It's kind of got the we've got the expertise and we'll give it to you kind of vibe. And so, yes, a more collaborative approach sees the parent as a partner in faith formation. And, how can church leaders get to know families and to walk alongside them as they share their faith and values with their children?
Yes, I'm reminded of a couple of instances or examples of churches hosting meetings for their parents to come together and talk to one another as parents. And I just think, I know that the pastors that I relate to are fully capable of facilitating a nice meeting that way, pulling parents together, creating a setting where they can talk to one another about what it's like to be a parent right now and what kind of support they need as parents and how they're trying to support their children together. And I just think that that's a wonderful way to begin, is for churches to host those kinds of meetings, whether it's the pastor, or a formation committee, doing that, hosting that meeting. What I'm hearing from people who are doing that is that it was really wonderful and that the parents just loved it and needed it and wanted more of it.
No, that sounds like a great idea. And I think the parents, just giving them a place where they can just speak freely is really helpful. So we've sort of touched on this, but the title of this article is Do We Need a New Plan for Children's Ministry? And so what do you think? I think I know your answer, but what do you think? Do we need a new plan?
I would say a resounding yes. So the report talks about 68% of church leaders responding that they had no strategy or vision for children's ministry. And then what was really interesting, they said when they did talk about strategy, they listed activities that they were doing or hoped to do. And so the report noted that leaders were trying to jumpstart the activities they did pre-pandemic and then hope that the strategy would emerge from that. This report was written in, I think, October 2021. So I get that. We were all still in the doing mode, anticipating what might work to get parents back in person and to get families back. But I think there's been enough time now that we need to step back from all the doing, and maybe reacquaint ourselves with the why of what we do. Why are children an important part of the life of the community? That I think that translates into questions about what children need to know about God. What do we want them to know about the Bible, about Jesus, about his life and teachings? And for Shine, asking the why question really determines what stories we tell, and how we tell them to each age level. So asking why helps us focus on what activities to use that will engage children in wonder. And for older children and youth, what questions will help encourage them really to think creatively and critically so that they'll love Jesus, grow in faith, and change the world?
Yes. Yeah.
Shanna, what about you? Do we need a new plan?
Yes, we do. And one way that congregations can formulate their new plan or discover their new plan is by partnering with Shine Everywhere. We're going to need about 10 partners who represent a variety of characteristics And what I really am interested in doing with these partners is working with them individually as each partner congregation to reimagine how they will collaborate with parents and how they will not just equip parents but bring parents in as the experts. And one of the ways of doing that is, I definitely will bring a coach approach to both helping congregational leaders with me and kind of the coaching role with the congregational leaders who are working with the parents, and also maybe give them some insight on how they can take a coaching approach with their parents as faith formation leaders in the home. So, a way to the way we want to begin to launch this Shine Everywhere Partners program is to have the congregations who are interested in doing this with us fill out kind of an information sheet, which is or information form or kind of an application to show us kind of what they're thinking and what give us a little information about their context and how they want to approach this. And it also includes some questions about, what size is your congregation and some of those demographic characteristics that we need to take into account so that we get a nice broad representation of different kinds of congregations in our Shine Everywhere Partners. And the materials for the Shine Everywhere Partners are going to be on our Shine Everywhere website by the time people hear this podcast, shineeverywhere.com. And so I hope that if some of our listeners are interested in doing that they'll go to the website and look up the partner page and fill out that information sheet to let us know that they would be interested in being a partner and working together with us on how do we reimagine a new way to do children's ministry in our congregations.
And Shanna, I'm remembering that you and I did end up actually having some conversations during that time. That was a long time ago, it feels like. But we did have some conversations. And I am remembering that, yeah, to just have some goals, to have you help us, help me and our program think through some goals was really helpful in just sort of figuring out what are we going to do next. So yeah, it's a very, very good way to work at this. So thank you.
Great, thanks.
We have a practice at Shine of asking wondering questions. And so I'm going to ask each of us, what are you still wondering about? What are we still wondering about? What are the questions you're still thinking about related to this study and the idea of creating a new way of doing ministry with children and families? So, Joan, what are you wondering about?
So one of the things that the Shine team is going to be doing in the coming months is to revisit and evaluate the goals that we've set for our curriculum resources. In other words, we're asking ourselves those why questions. And so I wonder how we can encourage church leaders, teachers, and even parents to ask those why questions to help them think critically about the faith formation of children.
Shanna, what are your questions? What's your wonder question?
Yeah, I feel like I need to think of a new direction. I've already talked about how, kind of wondering how how CE committees and faith formation committees can operate in a different way. So yeah, I'm having a hard time thinking of another wondering qu question at the moment.
Well, you kind of brought yours earlier on.
Yeah.
One of the recommendations from those who wrote the report is this, and here's a quote from the report. There is an urgent need for churches to prioritize children's faith formation since it's been so negatively impacted and marginalized due to the pandemic. It is necessary for this to occur at the leadership level of churches, rather than only the children's leaders or families themselves. And so, formation of clear strategies for ministry in the seasons ahead is of paramount importance. And as I hear that quote, I wonder how congregations might begin to do this, how pastors, leaders will work alongside with those who are involved in children's ministry, and how they can work together to create strategies, new strategies for ministry to children and their families. Thanks so much to you, Joan and Shanna, and thanks to our listeners. We hope you've enjoyed listening to Faith Talk today. And if you want to learn more about Shine Curriculum, you can visit Shine's website at shinecurriculum.com. If you want to learn more about Shine Everywhere, visit shineeverywhere.com and you can learn there about Shine's new at-home initiative. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to let us know your thoughts about this study, or feel free to suggest other topics you would like us to explore. You can send us an email at contact@shinecurriculum.com or visit us on Facebook. Thank you and have a good day.